Over the last couple of weeks, we have been examining the topic of authority in the home. Or, if you want to put it another way, the roles and responsibilities of the different members of the home. We began 2 weeks ago by looking at the authority of the man in the home, the responsibilities and the role that God has given to him. Last week, we looked at the role of the woman in the home, the responsibilities and the role that God has given to the wife and the mother in the home. This morning, we want to conclude our series of lessons by looking at the role of the children in the home. And somebody says, well, Adam, you've titled this Authority in the Home. Why are we talking about the children? Well, it doesn't take much looking around in our society over the last 20 years to understand that there has been a pervasive movement in our society to give the children and to place within the home equal rights and authority for the children as there are for the parents. That the child has just as much of a right to make the decisions for the family and for the home as anybody else does. As a matter of fact, we oftentimes hear it phrased from the standpoint of the rights of the child. If you'll recall, going back to the 90s, there was a lot of hoopla made about some laws that were being considered in our government pertaining to the rights of the child. And it had nothing to do with whether or not a child was going to be able to be taken out of an abusive situation or whether or not a child was going to be protected from harm, but whether or not the child had the right, I remember one particular case, whether or not the child had the right to demand the divorce of his parents. What rights, what roles, what responsibilities do the children have within the home? Certainly, it is something that we need to look at and that we need to consider because it is a pertinent topic in today's society. What does God say? Well, first of all, as it pertains to the role or the authority of children in the home, we need to recognize and to understand that when it comes to the home, children are given the responsibility of honoring their parents. You go back to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and you see there in verse number 12 that fifth commandment that is given to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, it's unfortunate in today's society that we live in a society that children are not expected to honor their parents any longer. Children are not expected to be ones who show respect for their parents. Jesus would make the statement in Matthew chapter 15 and in verse number 4, where there he would state to those scribes and Pharisees on that occasion, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." You move forward to the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 2, there the Apostle Paul makes the statement, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." It doesn't matter whether you're looking at the Old Testament or the New Testament, whether you're looking at the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, the command is there for children to honor their parents. But what does the word honor really mean? Well, when you look at the Greek word that is translated honor, it's the Greek word timao. And it literally means to prize, to fix a valuation upon, by implication, to revere, to value, or to honor. when it comes to the honoring of parents, it literally means to prize them, to consider them to be a prize, to revere them, to value them, to respect and appreciate them. When we're talking about the child's role in the home, it must begin with a valuing of parents. But friends, if that is going to be the case, the parents have to be there. The parents have to be there, and the parents have to be fulfilling their responsibility as parents. And that's part of the problem that we have in our society today, isn't it? We don't have parents who are doing their job, and therefore we have children who don't have anything to honor. They don't have anything to show respect for, and it shows in every aspect of their lives because they don't respect any authority of anyone, anywhere. Children have the responsibility, yes, to honor their parents, but the parents have the responsibility to give the child something to honor, something to look up to, something to prize and to value. It goes both ways. The child is to value and to lift up their parents, both personally and before others, to show respect to them. But you know, it even goes beyond the emotional statements of respect and of honor. The Hebrew word that is translated honor in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 12 is the word kabod. And it means to be weighed down with, or to bear the burden of. I believe that one of the greatest ills to our society today is the fact that when a child becomes 18, they're no longer considered to be the children of their parents anymore. They're no longer considered to have the same responsibilities toward their parents that they had as they were little children growing up in that home. They no longer are required to have the same level of honor and respect. As a matter of fact, they're expected in our society to reject their parents, to turn away from them, to run from them as quickly as they can, to find all of the different things that life holds in store for them. That's not the way God intended it to be. As a matter of fact, as my mother is so keen on saying, you're my child and you're my child to the day I die, or to the day you die. We never stop being the children of somebody. It doesn't matter how old we are. And therefore, when it comes to honoring our parents, we're not just talking about children while they are in the home, while they are in that house growing up. But rather, the honor and the respect that the child, the offspring, if you want to call it that, of an individual is to have for their parents is supposed to be a lifelong respect. A lifelong honoring and prizing and valuing of who their parents were and what they taught them. Our society would be much stronger, much better place if we stopped trying to separate the children from their parents at the time they turned 18 and instead were teaching them to honor and to respect and to value and to listen to their parents, not just until the time they leave home, but for the rest of their lives. We need to be ones who teach our children that part of their responsibility, not just as little ones, but throughout life, is to honor their parents. In our society today, it is oftentimes considered to be the way to go that as soon as mom and dad begin becoming a burden and that they can't take care of themselves in every way anymore, that we take them and we put them in a home and we shove them off on somebody else. Now, granted, there are times and there are situations where an individual gets to an age and they get to a point where they need care beyond what the family can adequately provide. That's understood. But that should be a matter of last resort and not first resort. We have the responsibility as children to take upon us the burden, as it were, of our parents. To take upon us the responsibility of caring for them and of taking care of them. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 15, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the individuals in that society at that time who were willing to lie about their finances and were willing to make ways around having to take care of their parents so that they could use things the way they wanted to use them. We must be ones, as children, old or young, big or small, who honor our parents. That is part of the responsibility of a child. If a child does not respect their parents, their ability and their willingness to fulfill the rest of their role as a child is impossible. It all begins with proper honor and respect for parents. But in the second place, children are not just given the role of honoring their parents. Children are also given the responsibility of obeying their parents. You know, we live in an age and in a society today where children really aren't expected to obey their parents anymore. They're expected to run around and act like hooligans and do whatever it is that they want to do, and the parent just sits there either pulling their hair out or shaking their head saying, "I don't know what to do with them." It's because we haven't taught them to honor and respect their parents first and obey them second. Children are given the responsibility to obey their parents. And if a child truly respects his parents, that child will be willing to obey them and accede to their wishes. It doesn't matter where you go throughout the Scripture. The importance and the value of a child obeying their parents is stated over and over again. You turn over to the wise man Solomon's writings in Proverbs chapter 23. And in Proverbs 23 and in verse number 22, Solomon will make the statement, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 1. You know, it's very interesting in the sister epistle to Ephesians in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 20. He says, "Children, obey your parents in all things." As children, children are to be ones who are obedient to their parents, who respect them, who love them, and who do what they say. But you know, respect and obedience do not come without time and effort. It is something that is taught. It is not something that is automatic. And therefore, it requires the parents taking the time to teach the children the principles of God's Word. To teach the children what God expects of them. Because unfortunately, so many times it seems we have the attitude with children that there are no expectations of God for children until they reach an age where they are accountable to God. That's not true. That's never been true. Children have responsibilities before God. But those responsibilities are first engendered and placed in those children by the parents, if the parents are doing what God would have them to do. God expects the child to be obedient to the commands of his parents. But let me make this caveat. God expects the child to be obedient to the commands of his parents as long as those commands are in accordance with God's word. Jesus would make the statement that whosoever loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. If it comes to making a decision between what mom or dad wants and what God wants, I really only have one recourse as a child. I have to do what God says first. You think back to the occasion of Saul and Jonathan, and how that Saul is going about to try to kill David for no offense other than jealousy and envy and hatred. And Jonathan will part ways with his father on this particular issue. Number one, because of his love for David, but number two, because of his unwillingness to do something so wicked and wrong as to seek the death of an innocent man. Because of that, his own father will turn on him and seek to kill him. And somebody says, well, Jonathan wasn't being obedient to his father. No, because his father was not being obedient to God. There's always that distinction made in Scripture. Under the old law, there were severe consequences for the individual who was not willing to obey his parents. As a matter of fact, when you turn over to Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse number 17, Solomon, or rather Agur, will make a very interesting statement, very vivid statement, but I think it gets the point across accurately. He says in Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse number 17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it." How beneficial is it for a child to be disobedient to his parents? The overall aspect of the statement is eventually it's going to get him killed. The eye that mocketh his father and despises to obey his mother will lead to nothing but problems. You read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, concerning the consequences of an individual who curses and turns against his father and his mother. An individual who refuses to be obedient to his parents. You read in verse 18, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him and will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Friends, he's not talking about a small child who says no to mommy and daddy. We're talking about a grown man who won't take responsibility for his life, who refuses to uphold the law and to give honor and respect to his parents who are seeking him to follow the law. And instead, in a proverbial sense, spits in their faces with what they've told him to do to be acceptable to God. I believe there's a very important point when it comes both to the statement in Deuteronomy 21 and also other statements that we've already looked at, such as Matthew chapter 15 and elsewhere. We've already mentioned it in brief, but I want to mention it again here. We don't stop being children when the government recognizes us as adults. The wise child, the one who truly loves God and loves his parents, will be one who continues to obey his parents, even at the times of adulthood. Now, that doesn't mean that mama and daddy are going to make all the decisions for how I run my family and for the things that I do, the places I go, and the decisions that I make in my life. That's not what it's talking about. But a wise child who has parents who love God, who seek to serve God and want only that their children do the same, will be one who goes to mom and dad for counsel, for guidance, for strength, and for encouragement. And when it's recognized that there are decisions that are being made, or there are things that are being done that are not so, and they are confronted with that by their parents, the godly child will be obedient to them. Whether they're 10 or 20 or 40. You see, the child never really outgrows being a child in the eyes of God. We are still our parents' children. But parents, you know, that means something for us as well. That means that when our children reach 18 or 21 or whatever level you want to put it at, we don't stop being parents either. We still have the responsibility, as far as God is concerned, to love our children, to watch after them, to seek to guide them and to protect them and to care for them. To look out for their well-being, spiritually speaking, especially. That's our responsibility as parents, however long we and our children live on the face of this earth. That responsibility never ends. We never get to push it off on somebody else or say, my job is done. You know, I find it very interesting when you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse number 4. As you read there concerning the qualifications for a man to be an elder, Paul there makes the statement with Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 4 that he is one who rules his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And yet it's understood, based upon the things that are already stated concerning this particular man, that his children are grown. His children are adults. They're not little kids. But the measure of whether or not a man is going to be a good leader in the body of Christ is seen in whether or not his children will continue to listen to him after they grow up and have families of their own. After they grow up and leave home. It's easy to keep a child, or easier to keep a child in subjection when you're the one in control of what they eat and you're the one in control of the rules of the house. But the one who trains their children, teaches them and guides them in such a way that their children continue to look to them for guidance and for strength and for courage as the days go by is the parent who's fulfilled their responsibilities well, and as Paul says, is fit to lead the church of God, to shepherd it, to guide it. But in the third place, we need to have children, and children need to understand that there is the role and the responsibility to honor their parents. There's also the role and the responsibility to obey their parents. But in the third place, when it comes to the place of the child in the home, children are to work within the family unit. Now, I'm not talking about slave labor. I am not talking about a situation where the child is expected to toil away 16 hours a day and just be the slave of the parents. It's not what I'm talking about. But you know, Solomon would make the statement in Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. We live in an age and a society today where children are not expected to do anything. Children are not expected to have any responsibilities. Children are not expected to have to earn anything. We live in a society that when a child turns 16, mom and dad go and they buy them a car, many times the car that they want or the car that they have selected. and they go out without any responsibility having been taken, and they pay, the parents pay for the insurance, and the parents pay for everything down the line, all the way up until the time the kid graduates from college. We live in a society and in a day and time where most kids come home from school and don't do anything but sit in front of a computer or an Xbox or some other form of entertainment and activity until the time that they go to bed, and then they get up the next day and do it all over again. We're not talking about intense physical labor. But there is a responsibility that parents have to their children to instill in them a work ethic. To instill in them a recognition of what it means to work, what it means to earn the things that you have and the things that you receive. To instill in them an understanding of the necessity of work in this life. You know, when Solomon made the statement in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 6 to train up a child in the way he should go, that's not just talking about spiritual matters. That is talking about preparing that child for a lifetime of work, a lifetime of toil and effort. Understanding the value of what it means to work and to work hard. Now, that comes both by example and by practice. It doesn't mean that you start out a four-year-old with a full-time job. That's not what we're talking about. But friends, our children need to have chores. Our children need to have responsibilities. There need to be expectations for them, because if there aren't, they're going to be in a world of hurt when it comes to the real world when they become adults. And what do we see in our society today but a generation of children who have no idea what it means to work hard, who have no idea what it means to put your all into something and to actually earn what it is you receive, because mommy and daddy live in an entitlement generation where everything is given and everything is expected and not earned. We struggle in our society because we have forgotten the value of hard work and of actually expecting to earn what it is you receive. I find it interesting as you go through and you examine the Scriptures. You read of David in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and how that he's the youngest of seven sons. And yet when Samuel comes to visit by the guidance of God Jesse's family, what happens? The other six brothers are brought in before Samuel. And none of them are suitable to the task of that God desires as far as being the next king of Israel. And Samuel says, are there any more children that you have? And Jesse says, oh yes, there's the youngest one, David. Well, where's he? Oh, he's out tending the flocks. David at this time is probably in his early to mid-teens. And yet David has the responsibility of taking care of his father's sheep. He has the responsibility of seeing to it that nothing happens to them, and he has the responsibility of working in his father's house. You know, it used to be the case that every member of the family was expected to pitch in and play a part in taking care of the responsibilities of that family. It may be big, it may be little, but every member of the family had a part. We need to get back to that particular principle of life. Though we do not always recognize it as such, the children do have a very serious role and responsibility within the family. There's a great deal that God has to say about the role of children. It is a reflection of the parents, yes. But you know, there is a great deal that children can do to make the family better. There's a great deal of help, assistance, love, and joy that can be seen in the home that has a mother and a father who recognize the responsibilities that God has given them and take them seriously in their lives, and instill in their children the principles and the guidance that God has bestowed to them. If we get back to God's standard of authority in the home, if we get back to men taking the responsibility that God intended of being the head of the household, the spiritual leader for the family and the protector of the family, if we get back to the role and the responsibility that God intended for the wife and for the mother to be the queen of the home, to be the main focus and the main teacher of the child in the home, to be the strength both of the husband and of the child. And then we get back to the family and to the children in the home, recognizing that in order for them to honor their parents, there have to be parents there to honor, to respect, to love, and to cherish. But that children are expected to not just respect their parents, but obey them. And to be obedient, not just in the early days of life, but throughout life. And that children, yes, have expectations of them. Expected to work. They are expected to be ones who know and understand what it means to earn something in this life. Because when it comes to this life, nothing is free. Never has been, never will be truly free. In the same sense that though salvation is freely offered, we must be ones who reach out and take it. We must be ones who are willing to do what God has said to do in order to receive it. Now that doesn't mean that we've somehow by good works earned salvation. It's not the point I'm making. But just as children are required to honor, to respect, to obey, and to work in the home of their parents, isn't that the same thing God expects of all men when it comes to Him? Honor, respect, obey, and work. And isn't it interesting that when you take the principles that God expects of children and you apply them in the spiritual realm to those who are servants of God, they're called the children of God. Are you one of the children of God this morning? Are you willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? To repent of your sins? To confess Christ before men and to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away? To, through obedience to His Word, become a child of God, working for Him in His kingdom, in His house. Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've been a rebellious child. You've not been a child who honors their Father in heaven as they should. Will you come back, repenting of your sins and praying to God for forgiveness of those sins, allowing us to pray with you and for you? If we can assist you in any way at this time, would you please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?